Renee Roberts has the week off, so I've got hosting duties for the extra, and we've got a great one for you today. We'd like to welcome in our guest from Children's Hospital Colorado, Dr. Grace Hauser. She is a pediatric pulmonologist. Doctor, it's good to have you here because we're going to talk about a very important topic and subject today.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure because we are seeing some disturbing numbers about vaping among teens, and specifically in Colorado. Apparently, we're leading the nation. Is that correct?
That's correct, and it's really not a statistic that we want to be number one in the nation in.
And one of the things we're going to talk about several things to kind of set this up for the hour. We're going to talk about maybe why we think it's happening, possible health dangers to kids, especially when they're super young and they start this habit, and what can be done to help them maybe wean them off this this process. And by the way, if you're listening right now and you have a question that comes to mind, call 473-1240 TJ. Our producer will relay it to the doctor and we'll get you an answer on there. So if something comes to mind during this discussion, please feel free because we'd like to hear from you too. All right, doctor, let's go ahead and talk about some of the statistics that we have right now in Colorado.
Sure. So the most recent information that we have is from the Healthy Kids Colorado survey from 2017. And that study asked questions of 56,000 youth from 190 schools across the state. And what we found is that while only 7% of those students were using traditional cigarettes, 27% of those students reported current use of e-cigarettes, which is defined as use within the past 30 days. In total, there's about 33% of Colorado youth that are using nicotine of any kind, which includes cigarettes, chewable products, e-cigarettes, hookahs, and others. So it's a very high number and very concerning that this is a very popular substance that's being used among our youth.
Interesting, as far as the use of cigarettes, we have made progress in this country getting the message out about the use of cigarettes. They're hazardous to your health compared to where this country was, I would imagine, in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s.
Exactly. In the 50s and 60s was when the evidence was starting to build that traditional cigarettes were contributing and were the direct cause of lung cancer, for example. And in fact, one thing that the Colorado Youth Healthy Kids survey showed was that youth knew about 87% of youth knew that traditional cigarette smoking was risky, but only half were aware of the fact that vaping of tobacco products is risky.
And maybe we should back up just real quick for those folks who may think they know what it is, but what is vaping, doctor?
Sure. So vaping or e-cigarette use goes by a number of different terms. So e-cigarettes, electronic cigarettes, vaping, mod pods, different kinds of pens, electronic cigars, e-cigars, all those kinds of things are considered to be vaping devices. And so what it is it's typically a cartridge or a canister of some kind that holds a liquid, and then there's a typically battery-operated heating device. And so when the user starts to inhale the substance from the mouthpiece, that electronic heating device heats the liquid and vaporizes or aerosolizes it, which was what leads to the term vaping.
Okay, so it's not smoke.
So it's different in that it's not traditional combustible smoke, like a traditional cigarette. But there certainly is particulate matter in the aerosol or in the vape that's being inhaled.
Okay, so as a physician, do you find this unhealthy?
We have significant concerns, and we know that what we're seeing from the studies that are coming out is that there's nothing that's showing that it's safe, and there's building evidence that it's very risky and dangerous, and that the particulate matter in the vape or in the aerosol contains some of the same carcinogens and other particles that are found in traditional cigarettes.
One of the things that I found interesting in some of the material you gave me yesterday so I could look at it and prepare for this is that these were created and sold as a solution to adults to get them off cigarettes. Is that correct?
That's correct. And so that's at least how they were originally marketed or put out there. Now, we've certainly seen that to some degree, when you look at these products and you look at the vape juice, which is the kind of a term for the liquid that's used in these products, they're very clearly being marketed to youth. So they come in brightly colored boxes. They come in different flavors that are very appealing to youth. So whether that's chocolate flavored or menthol or different fruity flavored. I saw one that was an ice cream flavor, that there's some significant concerns. And again, building evidence that these companies are actually marketing them to youth.
Now, what is the law in Colorado as far as the age, as far as buying this?
So the legal age is 18. But we also know from studies looking at youth is that if an 18-year-old is allowed to purchase these products, they're often hanging around with younger kids. So maybe 13, 14, 15-year-olds are getting the opportunity to try these products because they're being purchased by 18-year-olds or because they're being purchased by kids who are underage but are getting access to these products.
And these products have nicotine in them, correct?
They do.
And that's the addictive chemical in cigarettes.
Correct. Now, there are a few vaping products that don't contain nicotine, but the labeling is not always correct. And so there may be a product that is not labeled as containing nicotine, but then when it's studied, it actually does have nicotine in it. The other problem is that youth often will think that the product is only a flavor when it really does have nicotine in it. So they're not even aware that they're inhaling nicotine.
And then you become addicted to the nicotine rather than through a cigarette, through the vaping.
Right. And many of these vaping products contain very high levels of nicotine. So, for example, there's a Juul device where one canister or pod of the liquid can contain as much nicotine as a whole pack of 20 cigarettes.
Wow, that's a lot of
It's a lot.
And what is the effect of nicotine on the body?
So especially on the adolescent developing brain, there's a lot of concerns around and evidence around how the nicotine affects the adolescent brain. So during the time period of adolescence through young adulthood, their brain is continuing to develop in its executive function, its memory control, and decision-making capacity, and that nicotine impairs that brain development. So not only do you see immediate effects of the nicotine with difficulties with functioning in school, for example, or attention, but there's long-term effects that the brain may not develop in the correct way. And so you end up with kids who are addicted to nicotine from a very young age. It's very difficult to quit. And then they have essentially brain damage from developing this habit and this addiction at a young age.
What about the damage? We know that cigarettes, from what I've read, not only being bad for the lungs, but it also can cause hardening the arteries, you know, circulation issues. Does vaping nicotine also present that as a problem?
So we believe so. Again, the nicotine devices and the vaping devices, I should say, are so new that it's hard to show that over a long period of time because it's a long exposure that causes those problems, such as arterial problems in the heart. We certainly can show that the body absorbs the nicotine from e-cigarettes just like it does nicotine from traditional cigarettes. So one could assume that those same side effects from the nicotine of traditional cigarettes are going to be seen from electronic cigarettes. But again, it's a very new product, and so that literature and that body of knowledge in the medical community is still developing.
So this is almost like where we were in the 50s and 60s with smoking cigarettes.
Almost.
As far as where the research is.
Yeah, or maybe even not quite there just because we haven't had that long period of time. Again, it took probably 30 to 50 years of traditional cigarette smoking before they were able to show that association between cigarette smoking and lung cancer. So we don't want to wait that long. We want to make sure that we are getting the word out that these products are dangerous, not just acutely, so right away for patients and especially for adolescents, but that over the long haul.
Okay, we'll continue in just a couple of moments. We've got a lot to cover this morning on The Extra. Our guest is from Children's Hospital Colorado, Dr. Grace Hauser. This is The Extra. KRDO News Time is 9:17. And our guest today for the remaining time of this extra is Dr. Grace Hauser. She is a pulmonologist with Children's Hospital Colorado. We're talking about vaping, the dangers of vaping. There's reports that have come out that it's increasing. Colorado is leading the curve, unfortunately, with young people using vaping products. Legal age is 18, but we know that it's being passed along to kids that are, you know, giving it out. Doctor, the first question I wanted to ask in this segment, we've heard for years the dangers of secondhand smoke. We've seen, you know, a move from, you know, what back in the 60s and 70s, I believe people could smoke on airplanes. That's been taken away. Restaurants, most restaurants are now smoke-free because of the dangers of secondhand smoke. If I'm standing next to someone vaping, am I putting myself at risk?
Yes, unfortunately you are. There is common knowledge about the fact that secondhand inhalation of traditional cigarette products is dangerous to the person being exposed to that secondhand smoke. Unfortunately, there's some advertising out there that claims that the secondhand aerosol from a vaping product is harmless water vapor, but that is completely not true. There are known harmful chemicals, toxic chemicals, and carcinogens that have been found in that secondhand smoke from electronic cigarette devices. Mm-hmm. They have big fancy names like polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. They're so fancy I can't even pronounce them. Nicotine, other compounds, particles, metal, silicate particles. Some of them actually in higher levels than in the secondhand smoke from traditional cigarettes.
Now, you mentioned in our last segment the dangers that nicotine itself poses to the body. We know from the research that when you smoke cigarettes, it's damaging to your lung. Do we have any research that indicates that just vaping itself, the taking in the vapor, is going to damage the lung?
Yes, we do. So again, this body of literature in the medical field is emerging and we're getting new information. I think I get an email almost every week with some new information about the dangers of electronic cigarette smoke to the lung. So, for example, we know that it will impair the body's immune defenses in the lungs, and how that cigarette particle smoke from the electronic cigarette devices affects the lungs themselves. Mm. We know that the chemicals that are used to flavor these products can be very dangerous to the lung as well.
Okay. We're going to talk. Earlier this morning on KRDO's Morning News, Sheriff Bill Elder was here, and I told the sheriff that you were coming in, and this was the topic, and I asked him this question. I said, he can't address it from health issue, but I said, from law enforcement, what do you have to say about vaping? I found his comment to be very interesting about the use of vaping and perhaps going into drug use. From what he tells me, this is coming from Sheriff Elder, people are vaping cannabis.
Yes.
Cannabis products, and it's very high concentration of THC, but unlike a marijuana cigarette, which you can smell and you know someone's smoking marijuana near you, this has no odor.
Yeah, that's very interesting and certainly concerning, but we know that youth will take these devices and put other products such as marijuana in them. Now, they're obviously not designed for that in most cases, but that's certainly a form of drug use that we're starting to see expand over the course of time.
And if there's not putting out any odor, and we want to talk about what parents can do here in a moment, that's a concern because it's not immediately aware, it doesn't make you immediately aware that the person is using an illegal drug.
Right. So it's much easier to hide it.
Okay. So that's another issue we're dealing with.
Absolutely.
One of the things, are there resources out there that if someone is trying to get off this habit that they can reach out to? What are those?
Yeah, there's some great resources that are available. So one of the best that we have heard from recently is the Colorado Quit Line. And so the Colorado Quit Line is accessible by calling 1-800-QUIT-NOW or their website, which I can find. I believe it's coquitline.org. And they will serve youth down to age 12. And so it is a free resource that's available to anyone who is using any type of tobacco products. And what I've heard from them recently is that certainly what they're hearing from youth callers is that they're mostly using electronic cigarette or Juul devices especially.
What was the youngest age on those stats as you gave me that someone reported that they were actually starting to vape? At what age was the lower end?
So the lower end of the national survey was eighth grade.
Eighth grade,
and
okay.
They're starting to see use in eighth graders, and that prevalence is increasing. So in 2017, 3.5% of eighth graders nationally reported vaping in the past 30 days. And then in 2018, there was a 6.1% of students reported. So that was a 2.6% increase in just a year among eighth graders.
That's probably about a 13, 14 age range.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If people start school in first grade at six.
Yep. And then it's certainly much higher in 12th graders. So the most recent numbers that were published in the New England Journal of Medicine noted that the absolute increase in the prevalence of nicotine vaping among 12th graders and 10th graders was the largest percent increase in any substance in the past 44 years that this survey has been going on.
And the survey, the teens had to answer this themselves. It's possible that some who are doing it answered no.
Right.
So the numbers could be higher.
Right, exactly. And then, again, just the fact that youth who are vaping and thinking that they're vaping just, quote unquote, flavoring, aren't realizing that they're vaping nicotine. So absolutely the numbers could be higher than what we're seeing in the reports.
We'll continue in just a couple of moments. This is The Extra on KRDO News Radio. We're talking about the dangers of vaping among teens specifically, and it is a rising problem across the country and specifically in the United States of America. Our guest is Dr. Grace Hauser. She is a physician with Children's Hospital Colorado. KRDO News Time, 9:26. Renee does have the week off. Dr. Grace Hauser is our guest today on The Extra for the remaining time. She is a pediatric pulmonologist with Children's Hospital Colorado, talking about the dangers of vaping. And if you came in the middle of this conversation or would like to share this information with folks you know, later this morning it will be up on the podcast page of KRDO.com. You go to Radio tab, look for podcast. You'll be able to download it, send it to folks if you think it would be helpful. We would appreciate you sharing this information. We've been talking about the dangers. I just wanted to bring this story in here real quick, Doctor. There was a man at his home in St. Petersburg, Florida, May 5th, when a device known as a vape pen exploded. According to William Pellin, he is the director of investigations at the Medical Examiner's Office in Pinellas County, Florida. He confirmed that the accidental cause of death was a projectile wound to the head, and he suffered burns on 80% of his body. It appears that this man is the first person to die due to an electronic cigarette in the United States. That's what we've been reporting.
Yeah, it's really sad that these can be so dangerous. And there was a publication by the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine earlier this year that said that there was conclusive evidence that e-cigarette devices can explode and can cause burns and projectile injuries. Another concern is that these can liquids that are found, they're used in the electronic cigarette devices, can be ingested, or there can be eye contact or contact with the skin, and that either intentional or accidental exposure to these products, whether in adults or in kids, can lead to significant injury or even death.
And if you have these products in your home and you have young children, I'm talking about, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, at that age, you have to be careful because they get a hold of this, they could get injured.
Absolutely. So there's concern that when you run the numbers about how much nicotine is in one of the liquid or quote unquote juice boxes, what they're called sometimes, that a typical 20-month-old toddler ingesting as little as half a teaspoon with that level of nicotine in that could cause very significant adverse effects or even death.
I learned a new word during the commercial break, and I'm going to ask you about this because we're here to just explore this topic. Juuling. What is juuling?
So Juul is a specific type of electronic cigarette device that became available for sale in the U.S. in 2015. And in 2017, they became the top-selling e-cigarette brand in the U.S. And so what it is that a Juul pod looks very much like a USB flash drive. Mm-hmm. And so what we find is that teenagers can bring these into schools, and it's very difficult to tell that this is an electronic cigarette device, not a USB drive that the student is using for legitimate educational purposes.
And you tell me that when you're juuling, it doesn't have the visible signs that vaping has.
Yes, it doesn't make as much of a particulate aerosol, and so it may not be visible like a big cloud of smoke. And so we know that students are using these devices maybe outside, but also in school bathrooms or even in the classroom when the teacher's back is turned.
So I can understand why there's such an urgent request from public officials and health officials like yourself to get the word out about these products.
Not only are they very easy to hide, but a single Juul pod can contain as much nicotine as a whole pack of 20 cigarettes. So just by inhaling one pod, a teenager is exposing themselves to an extremely high amount of nicotine.
And I don't know how many, I don't smoke, but I don't know how many cigarettes an average smoker goes through, maybe a half a pack, but that's over the course of an entire day.
Correct.
If you're smoking a pack a day, and you're talking about someone's doing this in one instance.
In one instance with one pod.
Okay, let's talk about if a parent is listening right now and they have some concerns, maybe they know their child is doing this or they have suspicions. What help is out there for them, please?
Absolutely. So there are important resources that are available for parents. So if parents themselves are smokers, one of the best things they can do is to set a good example for their teenager and for their young children by becoming tobacco-free themselves. There are free resources available. Again, the Colorado Quit Line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Other resources like smokefree.gov can be helpful for parents who are motivated to quit. I would say one of the best gifts gifts that a smoker can give themselves, especially looking into the new year, is to make a plan to quit smoking.
And being the type of physician you are, I'm sure you've seen the damage that cigarettes do.
Absolutely. And again, not only to, you know, youth who are my patients, right. But then the secondhand exposure that young children get from a parent who is smoking either a traditional cigarette or an electronic cigarette device.
All right.
If there's the other thing that parents can do is, and what we find is that a lot of people just don't know about electronic cigarettes or about Juuls. And so becoming informed, obtaining that information about what these products are, what they look like, how to recognize a Juul as compared to a USB device. It's all very important for parents to be able to do.
And is that information available somewhere at a good website?
It is. There's a great website, e-cigarettes.surgeongeneral.gov, which has some great information for parents. There's a whole tip sheet about talking with your teen about e-cigarettes and other information for healthcare professionals, teachers, et cetera.
Okay. We will have one more segment with the doctor here in just a couple of moments. It's approaching 9:43. This is The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And our guest today, Dr. Grace Hauser, she is with Children's Hospital Colorado, pediatric pulmonologist. We've been talking about the dangers of vaping, and it's becoming a real problem in Colorado and across the country with teens. And you are not legally allowed to vape until you're 18, and we're seeing evidence that it's starting much earlier than that. Tell us about the governor's recent executive order on this.
Sure. So Governor Hickenlooper issued an executive order back in early November in conjunction with the Colorado Department of Public Health, as well as with Children's Hospital Colorado, proclaiming a vape-free November, and in part to bring significant attention to this problem in Colorado, as well as including an executive order within some of the authority of the Colorado state government. So Governor Hickenlooper's order directed the Department of Revenue to increase the compliance checks of retailers to make sure they're not selling to underage minors. It extended the prohibition on smoking in state buildings to include e-cigarettes and vaping. So there's smoke-free campuses for all state buildings in Colorado, as well as a couple of directives to the Department of Public Health about health advisories and then some investigations. The governor also made some suggestions for the legislature to consider in the 2019 session.
Okay, and that session will be going next month. Also, there was an editorial recently in the Gazette.
Yeah, that's correct. There was a very nice editorial in the Gazette that was published last week. Again, bringing attention to this issue about teenage consumption of nicotine in Colorado specifically.
And would you like to go into a couple of the points that were made by the Gazette?
Sure. So one of the things that I thought was very important and helpful that the Gazette pointed out was that just the importance of local and state governments of taking on this this issue, and that there are things that we can do to help youth or help keep these products out of the hands of youth and keep them safe from the dangers of vaping and of nicotine exposure. So, for example, they indicated that that there's ways that the government can protect youth against that social pressure that says that vaping is harmless or that vaping is cool. And one of the things that the governor's order suggested was to increase the tax on tobacco products, including e-cigarettes, vaping devices, or and then requiring retail licensing, which has certainly been something that's been shown to be effective in helping keep products out of the hands of youth.
I remember something, this is going way back when I was in elementary school, and it was quite a long time ago, but I still remember it like it happened yesterday. We had probably the American Cancer Society or someone come into our school, and it was a huge demonstration. And this is when the evidence was there that cigarette smoking is bad for you. And I still remember that, and it made an impression on me as third or fourth grade, I believe. But is something like that being considered where we get into maybe elementary schools and get in front of kids and get the message out so they know that this is a danger?
Yeah, I think that's very important for schools to be able to do, and you know, both to educate school personnel about recognizing these devices as well as to empower the school personnel to educate students. And so there's several toolkits and tools and resources that are available, one of which is through the website, the e-cigarettes.surgeongeneral.gov. There's some information directed to teachers. And then there's a couple of tobacco prevention and education toolkits that are out there. So one is through the FDA that provides teachers with the facts about vaping, as well as a activity that students in grades 9 through 12 can do to help educate youth about the dangers of e-cigarettes. There's a more extensive program called the Tobacco Prevention Toolkit that's also available online through Stanford University. And that's a series of educational modules that can be used in a school setting to try to educate students about the dangers of vaping.
And getting to kids sooner rather than later, because it sounds like among some young people, there's this culture out there right now, from what I'm learning, spending this hour with you, that there's this myth that this is no big deal. It's just like smoking water or something.
Right, absolutely. And unfortunately, it's been marketed that way. And the products aren't even always labeled correctly as to whether they contain nicotine. So it's an understandable point of confusion, but it's certainly something that we want to address quickly and not let that information continue to disseminate, because it's frankly, in general, it's just plain wrong.
And it sounds like there's this hip factor among kids when people are vaping, and that's something that needs to be addressed.
Right, absolutely. Again, the marketing that's going into this of showing that these products are hip and cool, or just even the fact that they look very sleek and sophisticated, or that they can be wrapped with little skins that, you know, make them decorative for kids, where they can put their own style on their own kind of vape pen, is clearly a concern and something that needs to be addressed.
Since we mentioned this at the beginning of the hour, just real quick, let's go back and do the statistics again of where this is, because I know some folks joined us after that, because this is where it gets scary for those of you who are listening right now, is the percentage of youth that are admitting here in Colorado that they are vaping.
Sure. So it's according to the Healthy Kids Colorado survey, which was data from 2017, 27% of youth from middle and high schools admitted to use of e-cigarettes within the past 30 days.
Okay. And the youngest, there's reporting as early as eighth grade. Is that correct?
Correct. As early as eighth grade.
So that's a teenager, 13, 14, perhaps.
Yep. Very young. And then very concerning, again, that those teenagers don't understand that vaping is risky. So there's not the same perception that vaping carries the same risks or even more or different risks because of the different chemicals and flavoring that's found in them as compared to traditional cigarettes.
Your advice as a physician, and you're also a mother too, correct?
Absolutely.
Your advice to parents right now that have young kids at home that may be impacted by this, what would you tell them?
So I'd say in general, just be educated, know what's going on. If the parent themselves is a smoker, set an example for your kids by moving towards quitting. It's making a commitment to quit as a gift to yourself for the new year. Talking with your kids, talking with your teenagers, making it an open conversation and using resources to help you be informed about that conversation. Talking with your young kids about how these products are dangerous, this is not safe, and enforcing that from a very young age. Keeping any kind of vape devices out of the hands, out of the range of a toddler, just like you would with a medication. So keeping them up on a high shelf, keeping the juice liquids away from kids who might think that it's really an apple juice box and want to drink it. And then talking with your physician or your child's physician, I think are great resources for both awareness and education, as well as support and information about how to quit.
And if folks would like to reach out to you, doctor, is there a way for them to do that?
Yeah. So the Children's Hospital Colorado website is probably the best place to go for that information.
All right. That's fine. Again, our guest, a fascinating hour and an important hour, very interesting discussion. I learned a lot this hour, and I thank you for getting me up to speed on this issue. Dr. Grace Hauser, she is with Children's Hospital Colorado. If you'd like to go back and revisit it, once again, this will be on the radio page of KRADIO.com under podcast a little bit later after our producer, TJ, does his magic in the production room. Coming up in just a couple of moments, we'll have Tom Martino, the troubleshooter. He's going to be solving problems up and down the Front Range. He's based in Denver, but he takes calls from Colorado Springs as well. We've got ABC News and local news coming up straight ahead. This is The Extra, KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and also at 92.5 FM.